Texas Podcast Massacre contains spoilers and adult language. For more horror, visit us at our website at texaspodcastmassacre.com.
Welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, coming to you from Houston, Texas. I'm your host, Mitch, and with me, as always, is my fellow samurai armor-stealing partner, Nate.
I'm not a demon. I'm a human being.
Jury's still out. Jury's still out on that one.
Okay. Well. You can't see me in the video, but I'm not wearing a mask, I promise. Ooh. And I'm also very attractive under the mask. Don't worry about it.
Oh, goodness.
And we'll get into it.
And of course, as always, we have our queen of unsuspecting victims, Lisa.
I worry about you guys so much.
Probably should. Someone should, for sure. Welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, where each week we debate a horror film and debate a horror-related topic with our unsuspecting victim, who's usually someone we would not consider a horror fan. I don't know, Nate. It's been Japanuary, and honestly, we're in February now recording. I feel like there's been a little bit of jet lag, and I think we forgot to, like, put out an episode last week.
Don't worry about it. Japanese New Year. You know,
I don't think that's right.
Strict adherence. It's like, you know, like there are certain times in like strict Jewish faith where you can't do any work, you know, like there's certain days, like you can't do work until the sun goes down. Right. And then you can do, that's how Japanese New Year is. So it's just kind of unavoidable.
So I don't know what any of that was about, but yes, let's just go with it. Oh, goodness.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry. Well, no, really don't worry about it, because we are going to give you a double header. That's right. Today we are releasing two episodes for you. So we've watched two movies. So the movie would have released last week and then the final one. So we're going to get into our first double feature film here, which is Onibaba. So, you know, our tour of Japanese horror films has gone from anime and the 90s anime to whatever the one after that was, but 2019 zombie film, to now we're going
one
back to like
the
60s. Yeah, One Cut of the Dead.
Yeah, and now, like, we're going to the 60s.
I already established that we're very jet lagged for this episode.
Yeah.
So, so we are going to get into it. I'm excited, Lisa, to hear your thoughts. You know, this is certainly, I mean, this is in the, not just the Criterion collection, but the Criterion collection. That's right. This is, considered one of the most influential films ever. So I want to know what you think, but before we get into all of that, of course, let's have a little bit of a debate question.
Bid our father, the Sea King, rise from the depths full foul in his fury. Black waves teeming with salt foam to smother this young mouth with pungent slime.
Pungent slime is going to be very important for our next episode. I don't know that we have a debate question for that pungent slime will be.
I didn't even think about that.
Key topic in our next episode for this. But first, let's get into this. Nate, I think you said you had a debate question for this. So I will kick it off to you.
So this film, Onibaba, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Prominently,
I think that's
features,
right. I think you got it.
Prominently features toward the end a creepy, very creepy mask. That a woman uses to influence the behavior of her daughter-in-law and scare her into not doing things that she doesn't like. So my question for you, for everyone, you know, we have young kids in our lives and they try to do stuff all the time that we don't want them to do. If you had to pick something from your house to creepily scare them into not doing it, you know, what would it be? And I'll go first because I have a really creepy one that I have used.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know where I got this. I don't know what, I think it might've been college somewhere, but I have this creepy, creepy bird mask where like the eye holes are like on the side and you can like barely see. And it is so creepy. Definitely keeping it long-term, in Oni Baba style, because the kids are too young, they'll forget about it. So I can scare them in the future. But there's, imagine me as a bird just saying, stop it. Pretty good. So it was effective 1 out of 1 times it was attempted. Every few years, just go back into the bird well, I think is going to be a good parenting tool. Because in this movie, as we're going to find out, I mean, this is all about good parenting. So
what was bad enough that you had to bust out that bird mask?
It's just like, will not listen. It was freaking out. And it was like, okay, like if this bird mask is going to flip the script, like this is going to reset this is going to knock all the chess pieces off the table. Kind of a move. It totally worked. It was great. So it's a lesson for all the parents out there, you know, soon to be parents, anything like that. Get a creepy mask, bird, any sort of animal, and bust it out when your kid's, you know, 3 or 4 years old. And it'll work at least one time. So you got to really save it for the crucial moments. But yeah.
A creepy bird.
Yeah. It's great. It's like a grayish face. And like the beak is pretty solidly long. It's like, it looks like the kind of like a weird, melty, uncanny valley kind of deal. It's great. Yeah. It's very creepy. All right, guys, what mask are you using to scare your kids? Go.
Yeah, Lisa, why don't you jump in next?
Or what would you use? You don't have to have done it like me.
Well, yeah, an expert. Well, let's go ahead and assume that Lisa has not tried to purposefully scare her children. Lisa.
No, and you know why? Because this shit's going to backfire on me. And at 2 in the morning, I'm going to get a crying kid saying I'm scared of the bird person. So, no, I'm not doing this shit.
So I only did it once. The problem with this movie, and the only problem, is that she did it too many times. That was the issue. Anyway,
I think I would.
The issue.
What is your item? That's the question.
I would go with like old school clown because I just like no one in my family.
You have clown stuff around?
No, because no one in my family cares for clowns. But like, I'd like to keep the tradition alive. You know, let's make sure that's dip that in the bud early, right?
Okay, like you're like, using it as a lesson, as a parenting lesson, like stay away from clowns.
They were gone. No good is coming from clowns. Nothing. Like what did it for my brother and sister apparently is it may be some other cases, but the one they always go back to is the movie The Poltergeist. That clown doll in Poltergeist is apparently what started their lifelong fear of clowns.
Interesting.
Now the problem is that, and of course, you know, if they're listening now, apologize for spilling the beans on here, because my problem is, you know, if you're afraid of something, why would you ever tell anyone? Everyone knows my sister's like deathly afraid of clowns, and like her friends and everyone, like every year without fail, hire a clown to chase her around somewhere. Like there's a clown stuff just everywhere, and she just wow. Yeah, I mean, she hates it, but it happens, and got no one to blame for herself. But yeah, I don't have a major phobia of clowns or anything. I don't like them. Like, I don't want to be around them, you know, but it's more of a, not a fan of the scene.
You're
more
slightly prejudiced against clowns.
Right. And probably because, I mean, I'm the youngest. I'm sure this was instilled on me, but I didn't have that same, like, fear factor. And maybe that's what I need to make sure to pass on. That healthy fear of clowns.
It skipped a generation, but you want to make sure like it continues.
Look,
like,
just as a look, as a little, survival little, mechanism. Little Damien loves himself some trains, and last thing I need is some like clown hobo on a circus train hanging around. Clown, he's like wanting to hang out with that. I got to make sure that gets the
dude. Your kid's gonna be running a full on clown train. It's gonna be only clowns.
Good Lord, as he's getting older, if he has it starts getting amassing an army of like hobo clowns in his train empire. I'm doing everyone a favor with this. Lisa, please help me out here.
I'm looking forward to the Omen 6. It's just a train of clowns. That actually sounds incredible. Please someone make that movie.
Oh goodness.
That sounds incredible.
There you go. Lisa, okay, so I know Lisa you probably won't pick one, but let me I did share go ahead, Lisa. So if you had to scare someone else's kids to teach them a lesson.
Yeah, there you go.
How would you do it?
There you go.
There you go.
We've been doing this podcast for 4 years. You guys don't know me at all.
Nate's child is trying to eat and just chomp down on forks. How are you stopping that? Go.
Bird
all
mask.
Ridiculous. The
bird
mask.
God damn it.
It's like rock, paper, scissor, like bird beats fork, fork beat. I don't know how this is going. God.
Look, I posted in our little chat. There's a, I like the mask ideas. I did like, Poppy has a, she had a song called Scary Mask. I sent y'all the picture there. That is a very creepy mask. It's just like an oatmeal mask.
Odie. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I'm trying, like that. The problem, you got to be careful about your mask. I think that's why I want to lead it here is you got to make sure your mask has like a clear purpose. That's why I went with clown. And I'm assuming that's why Nate went with birds.
Yes. It's distinctly a bird.
Distinctly. Yeah. Like this is some like just melted oatmeal Quaker nonsense. I don't know what it is, but like, you're scared of it, but you're confused. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be afraid of. Besides this tiny blonde girl wearing a oatmeal mask. That's about it. But,
oatmeal mask is creepier than bird mask.
Oh, for sure. This is very creepy. This is easily the creepiest of the masks we've talked about. I think this versus the Onibaba like demon mask, right? Like you have to have something tangible that like it has to tie it to, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a demon mask is not a great start.
Yeah.
Lisa, are you doing like a devil mask? What are you doing? Like, are you just gonna up the ante the other direction?
I mean, y'all can just keep talking about this like one. I'm not picking anything.
Mitch is gonna get an authentic Warwick Davis leprechaun mask and Mission Impossible onto his face.
Fine, let me just change it this way. It's Halloween. You're just gonna just spook some folk. Some age appropriate, not even kids. Okay, we'll take the kids out of the equation. Yeah. What mask are you using? What mask are you using to scare people?
I don't like scaring people. Y'all need to let this go.
People are in your house spilling Kraken everywhere. How are you stopping it? Go.
I'm selling my house.
Sell your house.
All right. Well, if you have mask recommendations for Lisa, let her know. Send us your mask, what you would do, at Texas Podcast or Texas Podcast Massacre at gmail.com, TX Pod Massacre on Twitter, Texas Podcast Massacre everywhere else. You can, of course, leave us a voicemail. We have a number. Do I know what it is? I do, Nate. I actually looked this up before we started. 346-246-3143. You call us. Again, if you call during the day, I may inadvertently answer the phone.
That's incredible.
And then you'll have to call back because I'll be like, oh crap. No, record, leave the voicemail so we can record it. And you know, so there's a whole thing.
Okay, I love it. All there. That's great.
Make sure to leave us your reviews too. You know, 5 stars, of course. You know, you're more than welcome to leave a 4-star. I get it. You know, it's like those like surveys in college, Nate, where like if you just marked 5 all the way down, they
professor was good, but were they like you know, were they, was there a slip and slide in the class?
Like, sure. On, well, we'll take your fours. Three's fine. And two and ones. Come on now. If you got that kind of, and that kind of time and energy, man, you're take it on. No, but leave us those. Let us know what movie you want us to review. I don't know if we have another theme month after Japanuary. I think
we'll not right after, but
not right after. So we'll be catching
Japan
up
on February.
We will be catching up on some of the listener requests. So stay tuned for that. But if you want to make sure to jump up into the queue, leave those reviews and let us know where you left those reviews at. Sometimes it's not always on Apple Podcasts.
We did get someone saying Podcast Addict.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's a thing. Let's do it.
And you know what? Hey, every review is beautiful, and we treat them as such. So there you go.
Every review is sacred. Oh, sorry, Monty Python.
Oh, I liked it. I was there with you, but I didn't commit. I wanted to, but I was like, no, I won't do this. So I'm glad you did. I you know, my heart's full now. Let's get into this week's movie of the week. I don't have the trailer because it's literally just drum beats. So I could do drums for you while we talk about it. But we're talking Oni Baba. Lisa, what can you tell us about this classic horror film?
Classic.
Oni Baba.
You want a summary?
Yeah, that'll be a pitch. Yeah, yeah.
Oni Baba is about a mother and daughter-in-law's relationship trying to survive in Japan during some war. I never caught what war this was.
They know it's one of them.
Some war.
One of them. Yeah.
And the disastrous impacts that happen when the daughter-in-law tries to start a new life.
I like it. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Nate, what can you tell us about Oni Baba?
Oni Baba came out in 1964. In Japan, 1965 in the U.S. and in East Germany, it premiered all the way in 1974. So back in the day, for sure. It was directed by Kaneto Shindo, who I know Lisa's a big fan of, but there's some interesting titles of the movies that this guy's directed. I know this is one of Mitch's favorites. So 4 years after he directed Oni Baba, he directed Operation Negligee.
Was that is a Jennifer Love Hewitt in that one or
no? It was 1968. I didn't
catch it.
Yeah, sorry. He did Libido, Heatwave Island. He did The Naked Island. You're gonna get a theme here.
Wait, is that the sequel to Heat Wave, or is it two different? Like, is this part of the Libido Island universe? Or I'm very confused. Like, I
think it was just Libido, but it might as well be Libido Island. I mean, let's.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misheard you. Then I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Libido Island. If there's not a Libido Island, we need to go ahead and create the IMDb entry, and then someone can pay us for that.
Yes, exactly. Lost Sex, The Conquest. His movie right before Oni Baba was Mother and Human, both things that are often mentioned in Oni Baba. So maybe those are the trial runs. Oni Baba was the epitome of that. The Ditch. There's a really deep ditch in this movie. Edo Porn. So that's a movie.
I'm
what?
Yeah, this.
What are these things that you are saying?
It's a movie. okay, I'm done. There's more, but I'm done. Anyway, interesting guy. Interesting guy for sure. I'm gonna send you the picture of. I'm gonna send you the picture of this film, and you can see what the title is or the poster is of Edo Porn, but it is something. So I'll tell you that right off the bat.
Oh no. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oof.
Yes.
Okay. So because it makes for great radio, it's a lady with a squid octopus thing.
Yeah, very Japanese.
So if that is a thing you are interested in,
that could be your movie. You're welcome. Actresses in this movie, the two main actresses, you got Nobuko Otowa I guess her character's name is just Kichi's mother. They don't ever say her name, but that, you know, her son's name. And of course, Jitsuko Yoshimura is Kichi's wife. Never give them any names. Not sure why that is. And then you got Kei Sato, who is, and he has a name. Why do the women have no names? Come on. That's,
yeah, he's Hachi, right?
Yeah, he's Hachi. I was saying, but get it together. Get it together, 1964 movies. The only person I knew was Hachi. He was in another Criterion movie, which is one of my favorite movies ever, Harakiri.
Oh, is he in Harakiri?
He's bald. He's the douchey kind of lord of the manor
that I was talking to. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he looks way different.
He does. I'm wondering, I didn't recognize him.
Yeah, those movies are only 2 years apart from each other.
Oh, really?
So I need to watch more Japanese movies so I can see, because the mother in this movie acted in quite a few things. So I need to watch more. I need to watch more Japanese movies so I can check out the rest of her catalog. But she was great in this film, so I'll definitely check out at least. Oh, she was also in Operation Negligee. Okay, well, I think we have a candidate. There you go. I'll sprinkle in some facts about the movie as we talk, but this is for 1964, a bold film.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really charting some, this is really charting the path through the tall grass, figuratively and literally. I mean, there's a lot going on in this movie for 1964. Holy crap.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's that old. I mean, I think I was telling Lisa when we watched this, like, honestly, and this is a credit to what they were trying to go for, but I was like, this is about as good as like Lighthouse is in terms of the editing, the filming, and just the feel of it. Like, it doesn't feel an old 64 film, right? Like, it's very well produced and shot. The lighting's great. I mean, it really plays well. I don't know how many folks are, you know, just anti black and white film, but this one is very well done. I'd seen it once before, but it's been a long time, so it was nice to rewatch this. Nate, I know you've watched this a number of times. How many times have you watched this movie? Actually,
it's only my third time.
Third time. Okay.
So I'm still catching some new stuff.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, and this is Lisa's first. So yeah, I'm interested, Lisa, kind of your first impression of the film. What did you think?
Yeah, it was good. I wasn't sure what to think.
Okay.
I was not as thrilled with the black and whiteness.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
I guess that was a stylistic choice, right? I would assume by 64.
No, it might have been more.
No, I think that was still in Japan in 64. I think you were still
probably more technical. That's just what they had.
Yeah, and this was okay. And this was a guy. So he was kind of in the Japanese film industry kind of cycle. It was very rigid, and this guy kind of broke out. Same with the guy from Houseu, right? They're kind of like more of an auteur type director in Japan, which was not really like as much of a thing at the time. So there were some, but they were kind of doing their own independent thing. So yeah, they didn't have quite the budget or anything like that in this movie. I mean, they're not going anywhere in this movie. They're filming the same places over and over again, right? And there's only, you know, a few actors. There's three actors, you know, in the whole film mainly, and then a couple people pop in for like 3 seconds, right? So it's pretty low budget, so that's probably why it was still black and white. Okay. I think you got Godzilla movies with bigger budgets from Japan, where I think in color by then, but this one was a low budget affair, but very,
yeah, good. So that sometimes made it a little hard to see what was going on, but overall, yeah. Good. I think you know, I don't want to get into the ending yet, but you get pretty far into this movie without thinking it's a horror movie. Because at one point I looked at Mitch, I was like, are you sure we're watching the right movie? Because this just seems like a drama to me. And then, of course, you know, the last 15, 20 minutes, all hell breaks loose. So,
Yeah, it certainly, the pacing is kind of weird on this one. Like it's, it runs probably, I mean, it's about an hour and 45 minutes. It runs pretty long. Not near as long as, the other movie we were thinking of doing was Qui-Gon, which is like 3 hours, which actually was also 1964. So,
great. Also in the Nightarian Collection.
Yeah, incredible film, but yeah, significant time commitment. This one though, still, I mean, it's a lot of setup, and I don't know that you necessarily need it all for what the payoff is on it, but it's still good. So, you know, this movie sort of starts off kind of introducing us to the mother and daughter-in-law, and I guess this is medieval Japan. Not, you know, so they are surviving.
It's the 14th century. Supposedly.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. 1300s. Yeah. So they are surviving in some whatever war. I mean, I guess they're samurai fighting all the time, by basically killing samurai that are wandering off over here and stealing their armor, you know, all their armor and selling it. I don't know how often these people are like running off on their own, by the way. It's very convenient. Like they're all like, there's never like an army walking by. It's like one random person is just kind of showing up.
Yeah, it sounds like their proximity to the fighting is so much. It's close enough where, like, all the men are gone. Like, you know, the crops like failed like that year, and they're just like starving to death, right? And they just like have to scavenge, and murder people and. Every person, you know, the three main characters in this movie, I mean, are basically serial murderers.
It doesn't strike you as much, but it's like you're literally introduced to the main characters literally at the very beginning. They kill two samurai and fully strip their whole armor off and everything. Like it's, you just watch it. You're like, oh, okay.
And then I guess it's crazy because. Well, the sound effects were very old school because you just hear like shh all the time, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
As they're running through the grass. The grass in this movie is a character. Stephen King just ripped this off in the tall grass for sure. Cause man, this grass is like its own deal. And it's like
it's more like, time running through that grass than any other thing in this movie.
Yeah, running through grass or like pounding things with mallets. Those are like your two biggest things. But yeah, like the grass and it's a rural horror drama, right? Like it's a rural horror family drama is what the movie is, which is not something that, you know, we're normally doing on the show. So it was a nice change of pace. But yeah, I mean, the grass is creepy. There's like an infinity hole. not infinity. She goes down into it, I guess. But
Japanese horror film without some well or hole that someone falls
into.
It's
a kill hole, and there's got to be a better name than
kill hole. What if this turned into the well that Samara fell down in the ring?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. If that's where that came
from, because samurai burial ground.
Yeah, and this movie, I mean, this movie is one of the sexier movies that we've definitely watched. For sure. From the director of Libido, Naked Island, and Operation right. Negligee. comes Oni Baba's shocker once you read that. But yeah, this is one of the sexier movies we've seen.
Murder and sex and intrigue. You're welcome.
Masks.
Ending Japanuary strong. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Lisa, tell me about these main characters. So we have the mother-in-law who never gets a name, the daughter-in-law never gets a name, and then Hachi. And basically, when you meet Hachi, he's basically saying, "Yeah, your son died and I wasn't able to like bring him back or anything. My bad.
My bad. Hey, you got food?
Yeah. The show's like, hey, where's the food? Well, yeah, he asked for the food first before he tells them. They're like, what's going on with my son, her husband? Where's the food at?
And he goes through like three bowls of it. He doesn't just eat one. He's like, I need more. Yeah.
This is a movie that really, and like the way that they acted and things, like I believed they were like starving. Like the acting in this and the setup was very good.
Yeah.
Like they were like just scarfing food every time they had it. And they were looking physically exhausted just all the time from all the effort they were making to stay alive. It was very good. It was very, you know, well acted and well designed kind of story. Cause I believed all the characters were just like, you know, the guy was taking a nap and she's like, taking a nap. What? Like, I gotta like break my back every second of the day to even stay alive. And this guy's like taking weird naps, you know, like she was like pissed off. It was the setting was very desperate for sure. And that, you know, obviously led into a lot of the decisions that were made. The setup was long, but then it gave a lot of backstory to why all the decisions were made, right? So I think in some way the length was a little slow and you're waiting for like, when is this going to pop off? And then it pops off and it all kind of ties together, I think, nicely. So
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so who's your favorite character of the three, Lisa, real fast?
Oh gosh, I don't know if I liked any of them.
You were a fan of Ushi, the guy who sold the they were selling the stuff.
Oh yeah,
for bags of millet. You really know times are rough when you're just getting bags of millet and you're just like, yes, did it. Like, that's not good.
Yeah, no kidding. I did tell Mitch I was surprised. So, you know, okay. So Haji comes back, says your son's dead. Then he starts to tell the daughter-in-law, hey, your husband's not coming back. You might as well come be with me. And I was expecting a much more sinister plot than her just being like, hell yeah, let's do this. So
that was it. She's like, well, my husband's been gone for a long time. And all right, sounds good. You're a dude. I was
pleasantly surprised with it because I was like, oh gosh, here we go. But she was like, no, I want to be with him. Okay, girl, then you go be with him. You do you. So that was a nice change of pace because you don't see that much. It's usually, no, I don't want to be with this guy and he's being horrible. So.
Yeah, and she was 21 when this was filmed. So she's, you know, on the younger side.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's believable that she was like she was basically like a super young, super young widow. And then this, you know, guy's around. He's like, well, my options are my mother-in-law who, yeah, she's all right. She helps me kill people. So that's nice. Creepy guys sell swords, you know, and stuff too after we kill the people, or this dude, and the war keeps happening and everything's going to crap. She's like, all right, well,
guess I made my choice.
Easy choice. Yeah. So it's crazy.
Nate, how much age difference is there between the actress that played the daughter and the actress that played the mother?
Oh, the actress played okay. I had it queued up for, I had it queued up for Hachi and the daughter.
Well, that too.
Let's start there.
They're about 14 years different.
Oh, geez.
He's 14 years older. Yeah, that was a little. So like 21, 35. It's a little.
That's a little much.
Little much for me personally. Let me get the mom. So yeah, I had that one queued up. Let's see, the mom, 64. So she was only 40. So it was 40
okay.
And 21 And she, okay. they give her the gray. They give her.
I know. Well, that's what I was saying. I'm like, I didn't think she was that much older. Like, she was older, but I didn't expect.
She's 19 years older.
They gave
this
girl the gray hair and everything just to really sell it. Like, yeah, she's old.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty. Yeah. Pretty ridiculous. And she, and she's still alive, by the way. So she's still nice. Around. Yeah.
So.
Still wearing the mask, huh? No one cared. Eight. No one cared who I was before I put the mask back on. There you go.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, so most of the, a lot of this movie is, you know, the mother-in-law basically saying, hey, you need to stay with, don't leave me. I need your help to kill these people. And, you know, you married my son, so you should stay with me. And her trying to prevent the daughter-in-law from running off with Hachi. And then every night the daughter-in-law runs off with Hachi. And yeah, this happens. You gotta, this happens a few nights.
Look, this lady ever a parent? Because you guys say, oh yeah, that guy's great. You should definitely go with him. She'd be like, oh, never mind. Right? Like that'd have been that easy. But nope. She's like, that guy's a good for nothing. He was there and didn't save your husband and my son, so we should have nothing to do with him. And he's just like, hey, baby, anytime. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So
and then that one extensively. How many sex scenes are in this movie?
I don't know. Is it
like 10?
Well, is it or is it like eight?
It wasn't the room.
It was the room where it's like the same scene.
These were separate ones for sure. And basically in the second half of the movie, it's like one third nudity. Like as the movie goes along, it's just like, okay. Like,
well,
I was surprised
it's summer.
For
it's
1964.
Hot. I know. It was very surprising. At one point, the, you know, the mother is just like, hey, Hachi, you know, I'm right here. And she's like, you're old. And she's like, I'm not old on the inside. And I was like, oh no. Oh no. I don't like this. Then she just basically pulls her boob out. Yeah. I was like, this is 1964. Wow. This is impressive. Like this guy's going for it. And you know, I say, well done. I mean, it was like, people are desperate. Like they got nothing going on in their lives. At one point she says, I've never seen anything beautiful ever. Like that was pretty heartbreaking.
That's so she's bleak.
Like, I'll do anything, like anything to like feel alive or good or anything. Obviously same thing the daughter is trying to do. Right. Just from a different angle. So yeah, it was very bleak, and it makes me think that medieval times might not have been the best time to be around.
I thought you were gonna say medieval times isn't like the best place. And I was like, yeah. Well, the restaurant's all right.
After watching Onibaba, I'm boycotting medieval times. just as a,
this is what George R. R. Martin was trying to tell you. We romanticize it too much. No.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. So her basically after she's tried everything to keep her daughter-in-law from like, you know, banging Hachi, she kills a samurai general by dumping him in by throwing Timmy in the well, and then
supposedly.
Oh, sure. Sorry, I didn't realize you were her lawyer. And
I'm saying he's a supposed samurai general.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just supposedly. I thought you meant the. I was like, I'm pretty sure.
Oh
she
no,
did.
She definitely murdered him. No, that definitely happened.
She murdered him. She jumped over a hole.
Yeah.
Like it was murder by hole by. It was murder by long jump. That it was incredible. Like just.
So she gets down there and he's wearing this mask. Right. And she pulls it off and he's all his face is all just jacked. And then she's like, well, I mean, he might have a skin disease, but I'm still going to use this mask to scare the bejesus out of my daughter-in-law.
Oh my gosh.
And so she puts it on and then just starts running in the field, scaring the daughter-in-law.
And she's like, oh, you know what I heard? It's like, I heard like, there's like demons are around and there's like purgatory, but like if you don't do anything bad, it's no worries. Yeah. Like you just gotta slide that in conversation.
Now that scene of her like right like gliding through the trees to order when you were
so good.
So good. Such a great shot. Yeah.
The gliding is just so creepy. That many anime, Japanese anime and other movies rip, you know, used afterward. Oh, yeah. Maybe this isn't the first one, but Wow, very iconic.
I mean, well, supposedly this awesome. This mass is what gave inspiration for The Exorcist, when you see the Pazuzu's like white face in that one flashback.
Yeah, this was that was influenced by this movie.
Yeah. So Lisa, directly. I mean, this is I'm guessing the part where you're watching this movie and going, "Oh damn." Because up until this it's been just like,
yes,
iron skirt.
Wow, chicken, but... wow.
Well, and that, yeah.
And like extended scenes too. It's not like, oh, like they're like, you know, they're
get together. Off the sex.
No, I'm just saying, like, it was a large part of the movie, right? It was a large part of the movie. You know, it was a slow kind of like with occasional murder, but like even the murder was like, you know, desperate and bleak and like not like exciting in any way, right? You know, it was very like, you know, like it's methodical and like humdrum and just like, we gotta just grind to stay alive until something gets better, right?
Killing fish, they're killing samurai.
Yeah, killing fish, killing samurai, killing dogs.
Killing samurai swim.
Does the dog die in this one? This is a first. Does the dog get eaten in the Texas Podcast Massacre history? Sorry, Mitch.
I mean,
that was unexpected. I had forgotten that part existed. I was like, oh no, Mitch is not going to.
Oh, but I saw them like, oh, of course, Nate. That's why Nate loves it.
I had forgotten about that. No, anyway, sorry, Lisa, you were saying about the swimming. The swimming one was like the action set piece of the movie, basically.
Was brutal. When those two warring guys just keep fighting, which that was stupid. Let's just keep hitting each other while we're floating away.
Swim like, sword fighting seems very tiring. Like that seems like that's and pointless. Yeah. And then they were so tired that they got murdered by two other people really easily.
But that to me was the most brutal in the whole movie when they were like, go get him. Like, go get the one floating away. We're going to beat the crap out of this guy that just came. Not even the crap. We're going to beat him to death.
Yeah. The default posture of this movie is I see someone, I'm going to try to kill them. Isn't that crazy? Or sorry, I see any living thing, I'm going to try to kill it. I saw a fish. I saw a dog. I see anything other than the people I sell the stuff to. Right.
And sleep with.
That's I sleep with some people. I sell stuff to some people. Other than that, I see anyone, I'm trying to kill them. Like that's actually crazy. Like that is like a really menacing, just ominous. Again, it adds to the overall just really, really bleak and desperate environment. It's just like, oh, I saw a person. Okay, let's kill them. Like just instantly, no hesitation whatsoever. And then Hachi obviously finds out. Is on the wrong end of that stick at the end of this one. It's just a crazy. What a time to be alive. That's for sure. I can see why people are making just like really short term decisions because every time they see someone, they're trying to kill them or they think they might get killed. So it's like, we got no time left. I gotta live my life in like the next 1 year. Right. Or else I might, you know, everything might be gone. So, yeah, I can definitely see the motivations of everybody. Let's talk about this mask. How creepy was the mask, Lisa? What do you think? Really creepy?
Oh, it was very creepy.
Okay.
Yeah. I was not a fan.
So Christmas mask off the table.
I would have screamed my head off.
That's a fun fact.
She's very brave to keep going back, but.
Fun fact, if something ever happens to me, my mom prepared to be in the field with that mask.
what are you going to have to do? Like what would rise to that level at this point?
No, I've given her very vague instruction. Just if the need arises to wear this mask and run through the fields. Toward Lisa, so we'll see if that ever happens for some reason.
I did like the bit of foreshadowing when the daughter tells Hachi how scared she is to run through the grass, and this is before anything happens. She's like, "I don't like running through the grass," and he's like, "It's fine."
And then this demon's like chasing her, and then they run into each other, and they just start like going at it. It's like, I sure that's one way to.
Yeah, come on. You were a teenager / 35-year-old before. Come on. Yeah. you know what it's like. Come on. I just like, I mean, when she was running to go meet with Hachi, right? She's like, there's a man here. Like, this is it. It was like Usain Bolt levels, like based on the sound effects they're using. Like, she was like just breaking the grass. Like, the grass wasn't bending. She was just like destroying the grass. She was running so fast. It was hilarious. Whoever did the grass sound effects needed to get paid extra. It was on display in this movie a lot. It was awesome. I thought.
So let's talk ending.
Let's talk ending. Yeah,
because so ending. She gets wild. The mask. She starts to scare the daughter-in-law. It's not really. I mean, it's working, but not really, because the daughter-in-law just keeps going every night. And finally, Hachi finds her and says, "What the fuck? Where have you been?"
Man, is Hachi just laying some pipe or what? Because
Hachi came back from war. He came back from war for who knows how long. It seems like it's been years, right? This is going on. It's a pretty, like, things have devolved pretty hard in this, you know.
Yeah, I tried to look it up while we were talking. It looks like maybe it was, this is referring to some like 50-year-long war.
Oh my God.
That was going on. Because they mentioned the guy, the general that Hachi talks about is the one that eventually basically rises up to power after all this stuff.
Yeah, it's been at least a few years specifically in this scenario. It seems like it's been a couple of years at least. So, yeah, I mean, you know.
So the mom decides, well, it's a stormy night. They go out anyway. But when the daughter comes back in the morning, the mask is stuck on the mom. She figures she needs to fess up because she needs help. So she fesses up. They eventually come to an agreement that she will leave the daughter and Hachi to do whatever the hell it is they're going to do. They get the mask off, but her face is already jacked up.
That's underselling it a little bit. You're looking at like straight up oatmeal face, almost like that picture Mitch set. I mean,
yeah, it's really
very disfiguration.
Bad that the daughter-in-law thinks she's an actual demon.
Because they she's telling chase. All those stories. Telling all those stories. Backfire.
I know.
Yeah, well, there you go, Lisa.
I think Lisa's been monitoring. After watching this movie, I think Lisa's been staying up late all night, making sure her kids don't wander out and do something she doesn't like. Maybe that's why you're yawning. I don't know. Something.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day. I put on three masks. Quite an evening.
There's my morning mask, my afternoon, and my evening.
I go with a lighter demon mask. Yeah.
It totally backfires because they're running through the grass. She can't see where she's going because of her jacked up face, and she ends up falling in the hole. But it's bittersweet for the daughter because she finally has the freedom to be with Hachi.
Another deserter goes into his house, starts eating his food ravenously, and then straight up spears him.
So
I don't know what the fuck happens up with to that her. Guy now? Oh no.
Don't oh my gosh.
That. Don't do that.
Of the angels. T's and P's, Hachi.
Yeah, Hachi.
Him and his magic penis, I guess.
Tips.
I
mean, like, tips and
this
points,
girl is braving the demon, is braving the elements, is braving everything, is risking it all.
He went one time. She went like 100.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like,
at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So she falls, but before then, she wants everyone to know that she is not a demon. She's a person.
So we do. Wait, hold on. So I was not sure that the old woman fell in the hole.
Nate, she fell in the hole.
I thought she cleared it.
No, she fell in the hole. I after the second time, I still think she fell in the hole.
You think so? I thought she cleared it. And because that would be even more
our love down the well.
No, I think she fell in the hole. And I'll tell you why, because then that means the daughter is all alone now. because she pushed the mother-in-law away to get to the boyfriend. The boyfriend's dead, so now she's just alone.
I mean, it doesn't show what happened. I mean, the movie just straight up cut, you know, cuts to end, right? Right at the end. She's like, I'm a human. And then, you know, jump. You know, I guess you never see. I'm hoping that she doesn't die. And then the young girl is just miserable. Like, because that would really fit the theme of this movie. Because Hachi's gone.
I think it only makes sense if she does die. But I guess he'll only leave it open for interpretation.
Yeah, that'd be comeuppance for sure. This is how Inception got its ending. I mean, basically the same thing, right? So, yeah, great movie. All right, let's get into the final cut on this one. I'm champing at the bit to see what you guys
let's do it.
Rated this.
Ooh, well, Dave, we'll let you go last. So,
ooh, okay,
I will.
Like you go first, Mitch.
Oh, I was right. Going to go first, but Jesus.
No take backs.
I can't make up my mind.
No take
backs. All right. Look, this movie is very solid. It's certainly a little bit long for me. Again, I think I just through doing this podcast, I've learned to appreciate a shorter, effective horror movie. But that's not to say this movie's not good. It's very good. I could maybe understand some people's hesitancy to really claim this is a horror movie versus a like just a period piece or something. But I think it is, right? I mean, everyone is just murdering people throughout the movie. It's just not done some, like, you know, like, these are terrible people. Like, well, I wouldn't say even terrible people. They're doing what they have to do to survive, but it's very much just, they are just murdering people that, you know, they'll murder. The mask is creepy as all get out. I mean, people are being dumped into a pit. Like, this is like, we're in like Edgar Allan Poe.
And it's like so transactional too. It's like, yikes. Like
this. Yeah. So I totally think this is a horror film. I really like, look, it's, if you like ambiguous endings, this has it. If you like creepy masks, this has it. I mean, look at you, Scream fans. This is great. I give this movie, I'm going to give this movie 8 out of 10 millet bags.
Ooh, I like it. I like it a lot.
I mean, look, it's a incredible film. And then, and again, you know, look, our double feature, we're going to talk about a movie that came out 10 years later, and quality of the films is something else. And like, this is made in 1964. It is.
It's crazy that 7 years later, like, just the same quality the whole way through. It's just remarkable.
It is. Find out soon. I'll stop talking. But yes, this is. I really liked it. Lisa, what are you going to give this one?
Oh boy.
Oh man.
It's good. It's good. It's very unsuspecting, victim friendly. I mean, yeah, the mask is creepy, but it's not. I wouldn't say it puts it out of the running. I overall liked it. I think I could have done with a hair less running through the grass. Just a little bit.
There's a lot of grass.
Could have cut maybe 10 minutes there. A lot of grass running. But yeah, pretty good. I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10.
Ooh, nice.
Samurai swords. I don't know. Something like that.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I'm looking at this. I mean, we've never rated things this high for this many weeks in a row. And I think that streak seems like it's about to end the next movie. But this is incredible.
We gotta get back to some level of normalcy.
this is wild.
As we return from
for three golden weeks.
I mean, Lisa, this has been a veritable rising sun of fantastic films.
I was gonna say you guys have ran to these movies like she ran to Hutch. loving it. Wow. Okay. So I guess that leaves me. I'm going to give this. Look, this movie is clearly a classic. It clearly is inspired, directly inspired, tons of movies and was way ahead of its time in 1964. Just doing wild stuff. And it's like honest portrayal of things and how bleak they were. I mean, there's a lot of bleak Japanese war movies from the 50s and the 60s. Don't get me wrong there, but this is doing it in a you know, rural kind of slice of life way, that also then brings the horror elements, just casual serial murdering. And then, you know, then, oh, things are looking up, and then no demon mask with massive betrayals and, you know, and pit murders. So it's really got it all. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10, Foley artists, because there's no way that one person provided all of those grass sound effects. There were so many. There was a team involved. It was incredible. You're just hearing shh. Like, I would say 10 solid minutes of the movie might have been running through grass sound effects. Five minutes, like in real time. Incredible. And I still loved it. It didn't matter. And I think everyone, people were acting maybe in like a just you kind of maybe a archetypal kind of way, but especially the mom, pretty nuanced performance. I think her looks were doing a lot of work in this. It's not like this is like a super dialogue heavy film, especially in some parts, pretty sparse on the dialogue. A lot of looks doing a lot of heavy lifting and surprisingly good acting for just, you know, minimal amount of people and I would say a basic story. It's not like anything crazy is happening. It's overall, it's great, great classic film. Just like the next movie we're going to do. Yeah. So,
oh my God. Well, you'll find out. Yeah. I think the one thing I want to say about this film before I leave it is just, yeah, I'm sure that there's even part of it. There's some cultural part of this movie that we just don't kind of appreciate. I mean, in terms of like, you know, the Onibaba mythology, in terms of what that is. Like, I tried to do a little bit of research and I just wasn't able to get through enough to bring it up. But I mean, it's really interesting and it probably makes this movie even more impactful. Like the fact that the Onibaba or whatever is like an older woman it's a woman who turns into a demon or an ogre kind of thing, right? Because of karma or resentment or things like that, which basically effectively what happens, right? Karma basically comes back and that's why she changes and all that. So I it's probably not like a major, you wouldn't have to know that to enjoy this film. Clearly, I don't think any of us did, but I would, if we have a listener who does understand a lot of that and has some extra information, that would be awesome to hear. But that's what I mean. I think this is a movie that works on so many different levels. So absolutely. If you haven't watched it, you're waiting to hear from us, go check it out. It's really awesome. I think it's on like HBO or, the dark web. Well, either way, you can find it wherever you want to go. That said, Nate, where can they find us?
You can find us, as always, at TX Pod Massacre on Twitter, Texas Podcast Massacre, everywhere else.
You see some tall grass, just shake it. Nate might be hiding back there. ready to spook you with his own
in a bird mask. In a bird mask.
That's right. Sorry. How dare me? Oh my God.
That's me in the grass. Watch out for that. Then you're in trouble. Hear that sound. You can let us know what your bird call sounds like. 346-246-3143. That's 346-246-3143. Look, Lisa's been giving these movies way, 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 way too high of ratings recently. Give us a 5-star review on one of your podcast platforms, and you can change that by requesting a movie that is bad. So I would get on that. I would get on that. I think Human Centipede 3 is in the queue. So that we have a good
because
start.
You put it could there. No one asked for it.
Someone did ask for it.
Oh, wait, someone did ask. Oh, they asked for number 3. They did ask for it. You're right. What's wrong with you?
Keep it up. We've had high quality movies for too long. Japanuary continues with our next movie, which will be a double feature this week. Godzilla versus Hedorah, which I'm very excited about.
Oh my god! So look, if you're ready for that, keep tuning in. We'll be right here with you. We already watched it, so I guess there's that.
Too late.
Now, from all of us here at Texas Podcast Massacre, thank you so much for tuning in, and just keep telling yourself it's only a movie. Good night.